All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Canucks fans. Welcome back to another episode of Canucks Conversation, brought to you, as always, by the 2023 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain. Whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through it all. And of course, we're coming to you from the iconic Wall Center in downtown Vancouver. Looking for your next meeting space? Contact the Wall Center for all your event needs at sales@wallcenter.com. Harmon Dial, back in the saddle, back from Vegas, as you'll find out in just a second. And our technical producer is Grady Sass. My name is Dave Wadrelli. This is Canucks Conversation. Harmon, how was the road?
So,
a little too good.
My voice is shot.
Yes.
It's not for the reasons that you think. I am a little under the weather. But,
sure, buddy.
Well, it's funny. I was originally planning to...
I'm sorry. You can keep talking, but just for folks at home, Harmon texted me and was like, hey... I was a little under the weather when I got home from the road, but I'm feeling better now. You got back on what, Friday?
Yeah,
you got back on Friday. I'm feeling better now, but my voice is a little shot. And then as we get into the studio, you go, I didn't really realize how bad my voice still is.
Well, because I get home on the weekend and I am living alone, right? So it's not like I'm talking to people and I feel great. And yet I started talking and I'm like, oh boy, this is kind of rough, but no, in all seriousness, I mean, I was originally going to go out on the Wednesday night in Vegas, but then I found out that I was going to be doing TV during the first intermission on Thursday. So I canceled that, stayed in, got my sleep, and same thing after the game on Thursday night, just had a dinner. I went to bed on time. So yeah, I was behaving, but somehow still ended up under the weather.
I'm gonna try to put a stop to the jokes. We're not gonna make more jokes about it, but I'm gonna tell you Karin's joke early in the show. He said, "When did Harmon become Bane? Bane Dial? We'll work on that. We'll work with that." What did you think of the Canucks deadline? We haven't really talked to you about it. What did you think of their work at the trade deadline?
I thought it was fine, just in the context of. They already made so many in-season trades that they didn't need to make another move. Yeah, it would have been nice if they found a way to add another middle six forward or another depth defenseman or upgraded, let's say, their fourth line with another crash and bang type forward. But ultimately, when you go out and you already make a splashy acquisition for Elias Lindholm, you already make a midseason acquisition for Nikita Zadorov, another depth D in Mark Friedman, Sam Lafferty right before the season started. They made so many moves and gave up a lot of pieces to where they already did the tinkering with their roster that you would have wanted them to. And it's funny, I looked back at the last 5 years, the trades that every GM has made. Patrick Alvin's moves from October to the end of December, he was the most active general manager of any executive in the last 5 years during that window. So, yes, they didn't do anything at the deadline, but really it's because they got their business done ahead of time, and I have no problem with that.
Who needs a trade deadline when you can add a guy like Phil DiGiuseppe scoring back-to-back games? Let's talk about the win. Let's talk about the big win over the Winnipeg Jets, because like I said, Phil DiGiuseppe scores again. Right before the show, you were pointing out that I can't believe Aiden Hill, this perennial starter in the NHL, let Phil DiGiuseppe, wow, score on him like that. Just a pass between the legs on Aiden Hill goes in. PDG scores in back-to-back games. Let's talk about this game, and I'm going to tell you about a sponsor of this segment, and that sponsor is 4Winds Brewing. We've got some new beers to tell you about from our friends over at 4Winds Brewing. More specifically, the 4Winds IPA, a bitter beer for the sweetest coast. This classic IPA was made for folks who want a hoppy beer, hitting major keynotes of citrus and flower while finishing with a mellow, happy flourish, happy. This is an IPA for IPA lovers. Available at liquor stores across the province or for home delivery through 4windsbrewing.ca. Look at that beautiful can. Look at that IPA. Beautiful, beautiful. 4Winds Brewing is the sponsor of this segment.
By the way, you better not make me do any ad reads today.
No, you're off the hook, buddy. Don't worry. You don't have to do ad reads. There's no under the hood today. So don't worry. You're completely off the hook. And hey, you're playing hurt, man. Like, that's the thing. Obviously, have to make fun of your voice. With the context of that you were just in Vegas.
I would be too.
Have to make fun of it. But hey, kudos to you showing up to work, playing hurt. A lot of people wouldn't have done it.
The dial flu game, we'll call it.
That's right.
Oh. Michael Jordan.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic. Man, we might have changed the title to this episode, which is Life Without Thatcher Demko... for now. We're going to talk about that. Canucks obviously lose Thatcher Demko. That is the biggest story in this city right now. But I want to talk about the positives, because that was, I would say, one of the most convincing wins that the Canucks have had all season. I say convincing because it was against a good opponent, someone that they're going to be fighting for first in the Western Conference with, although obviously the Jets have, you know, some problems to work through right now themselves. But look, a team that is going to be in the playoffs in the Winnipeg Jets. And when people like me come out and criticize that, yeah, you have to win against these top teams, they won against top team, and they did it in convincing fashion on Saturday night.
Well, if anyone wants a snapshot as to why the Canucks are bona fide Stanley Cup contenders, just watch the tape back on that game. Honestly, every ingredient that they had firing, the excellent goaltending, the offensive stars shining led by Quinn Hughes, the suffocating neutral zone defense, and just having high energy battle winning forwards like Nils Höglander on all four lines. They had everything rolling, and it was so dominant. It was so convincing. Rick Bonus after the game called it the team's worst performance in his 2 years with the Winnipeg Jets, which I think is really a testament to how well the Canucks were playing. Of course, Winnipeg was on the second leg of a back-to-back, and you know they were missing a couple forwards. But even with that context in mind, considering how much the Canucks have struggled earlier in the year against some of these top teams in the Western Conference, for them to go out and beat LA on the road like that, for them to go out and beat Vegas in convincing fashion like that, for them to follow that up with beating Winnipeg as well. And keep in mind that right before this 4-game winning streak, the Canucks were really scuffling right before they got out on the road. So for them to flip the switch that quickly and kill this narrative that they can't contend against the biggest, heaviest contenders in the Western Conference, it's a huge check mark.
And the way they're doing it too, like, the lack of goals against and their discipline. They've taken a penalty per game in those last 4 games dating back to Anaheim. And that was one of the reasons why they were starting to slip, is because their penalty killers were struggling because how often they had to get out back on the ice, and they've really clamped it down, and they'll need to here going into the stretch run in the postseason, because how often do we see in the playoffs where, you know, a power play can sometimes make or break a team in terms of whether they're going to win or not.
And Tocchet spoke so much about those, as he called them stupid stick penalties, and how those were costing them games and how they had to clean that up. And like Grady just said, they have cleaned those up. I think the biggest factor is that, and I don't want to say biggest because it sounds too
dramatic.
Absolute. There's been a lot of factors. Quinn Hughes is looking like every bit like the Norris front runner that he was to start the year. I don't know if you saw this, the chart or whatever, the hockey stat cards account.
Yeah.
They had to create and they had to extend the card for Quinn Hughes. Did you see that? Like, they had to extend the card to show just how good Quinn Hughes was in that game. He was controlling, he was dominating all over the ice. Like, one of the best performances we've seen from Quinn Hughes as the captain of this team, hands down. And look, this team, he's the engine that drives this team. Like, that's it.
For sure. And I mean, Canucks controlled shots 21-5 when he was on the ice. I think in the first period, Daniel Wagner tweeted out that the shots were 15-0 for the Canucks. The goals were 3-0. He had a pair of assists on JT Miller's goal. What I loved about Quinn Hughes is, given how spectacular he's been this year, teams are going to, in pre-scouting meetings, key in on him and watch what are his go-to moves in the offensive zone. What do we as wingers and defensemen need to be cognizant of to keep him towards a perimeter, sort of eliminate his time and space? And what Hughes does a lot is he'll go down the left half wall side and start doing some of his spins. What he's shown recently is an adaptation and an ability to also make moves on the right side that we haven't seen from him before, right? Like, the Anaheim game is another example where on one of the, I think it was the Hoglander goal in Anaheim, where Hughes set up on the right half wall and then he beat Frank Vetrano, got himself into a shooting position, and then created the rebound that Hoglander scored on. That's the type of move that he hadn't made before. So you can't pre-scout that. You aren't prepared for that. In the Winnipeg game, on JT Miller's goal, I think it was, Hughes, again, on the right side, he's making the move across, gets himself into a shooting position, the type of move that I haven't seen from Quinn before, and he gets himself into a dangerous situation, and then Hoglander sort of gets the initial rebound, sort of gets it through his legs, and then Miller winning the battle on the inside, gets a stick on it to make sure it's jammed home. It's a new way of attacking for Quinn Hughes so that he's not predictable and easy to defend against.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a really, really sharp observation, the fact that he's kind of adding stuff to his arsenal. And like, the thing is when teams eventually pre-scout that new thing that he's doing, he's going to come up with something else.
Exactly.
Like, he's going to have different weapons to hurt teams. And yeah, Quinn Hughes was just so phenomenal in that game. I also want to give a shout out to Ilya Mikheyev, who I thought last two games has been really good. He's really starting to get back to what we saw in his first year as a Canuck, where if he's not scoring, he's disrupting and he's being a menace on the forecheck. He's, you know, like you said, suffocating through the neutral zone. I thought Mikheyev really embodied that mindset last game against Winnipeg. And I just thought it was a really strong game for Ilya Mikheyev. Vasily Podkolzin, and I also put in that same regard, where I thought he was so good on the forecheck, especially. And he's, what I wanted to say earlier was that one of the big factors I think I've seen over these games is, well, obviously Podkolzin's been in the lineup, but they've been back to basics in that north-south game. And Podkolzin's playing that game to a T. Like, it's very clear that Podkolzin knows what he needs to do to succeed at the NHL level this time around. And I've really liked what I've seen from Podkolzin so far.
Definitely. And to go back to Mikheyev, even if he's not scoring, even though he's been really snake-bitten, as long as he's doing all those things away from the puck to make sure that his line can control possession, that's going to help JT Miller and Brock Besser spend more time in the offensive zone. It's going to make sure that they don't have to do as much of the hard work retrieving the puck back, that they don't have to expend as much energy defending. And that, in an indirect way, helps those guys produce more offense. So he had so many looks at some point. Maybe it has to go in off his butt. Maybe it has to go in off his leg. Something will go in, and he'll hopefully pick up some confidence again and start converting on at least some of his chances. But the goal scoring can wait so long as he's actually driving play. That's going to meaningfully help this top six, because up until, you know, the last couple of games, he was just kind of invisible. Now we're finally seeing him be hungry, be disruptive, which is terrific to see. Also, another supporting piece in the top six that I think fell under the radar that deserves a lot of love. Pia Suter.
Yes.
Obviously scored towards the end, but even before that goal, you watch in the first period how many little plays he made to help the Canucks transition up the ice quickly. He was making sort of these long stretch passes to make sure that the Canucks were creating chances off the rush. He was just making so many smart plays with the puck that were never going to end up on a highlight reel, but made sure that Pettersson and Höglander got the puck in productive offensive situations. And I thought quietly he did a lot to help that line look dangerous and produce as well.
Yeah, Pia Suter definitely deserves some love. I wrote an instant reaction that he was the one that set up JT Miller's goal when JT Miller was crashing the crease. It was actually Nils Höglander. I got very confused on that one. But we have the stat card here for those on the podcast. You won't be able to see it, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It's the hockey stat card on Twitter, hockey stat cards. And they tweet out this like bar graph of player impact, and Quinn Hughes is just so far beyond everybody. Another guy on that list, Harm, very close to the top, Nils Höglander, who I think we need to give some major love to, because he's now at 20 goals all at even strength this season. Remarkable stuff from Nils Höglander, again really playing that north-south game and playing it so well, and really starting to provide some stability for Elias Pettersson on his line.
Yeah, massive improvement for him this season. He's just been such an energizer bunny. He never has a night off in terms of his work ethic, in terms of his motor. Yeah, is there an occasional game where if he has an off night that he might turn a couple pucks over, he's not creating a lot of offense? Sure, but he's never, ever going to shortchange you on effort. He's never, ever going to be a player that you walk away from the game thinking, oh, I didn't notice Nils Höglander tonight. You're always going to notice him. He plays such a heavy style, given how, you know, smaller stature is. And I wonder if part of it is you go back through Höglander's career, and despite being a smaller body, he first made his SHL debut when he was 16 years old. Think about that for a second. Think about how small he would have been in stature, and think about how much he would have had to learn to play against opponents and defensemen that are bigger and stronger. I think that accelerated his physical development, that got him used to, okay, how can I win battles even if I'm at a disadvantage in terms of reach or in terms of how many pounds I have on my frame? And it also made him, I think, the type of player that off the ice is such a fitness freak. Like, seriously, even when he was drafted, that's one of the first things that consistently came up was this guy's a monster in the gym. And yeah, you see him in person in the locker room, and he's got such a stocky build. He's built like a fire hydrant, and when you combine it with, again, just his nonstop motor, it's extremely impressive what he brings to that Pettersson line.
The unicycle juggling, that's
exactly
what he does. He's a fitness freak. Okay, not to make this segment just this person played great, how good was this person, we could go down the list, there's a lot. The final one for me is Carson Soucy. We've said it before, ever since he's got back, Carson Soucy has been so good. I have a tendency to ramp things up and make things big and dramatic and everything's a statement. I know what people say, but man, it's hard to say that Carson Soucy isn't like this team's second most important defender.
Over Hronek?
I think I'm throwing it out, small sample size, but I think losing Hronek would not hurt as bad as losing Soucy does. I will also say it's partly because Soucy holds down his own pair, and I think you can get by with somebody else playing with Quinn Hughes, but I don't think you can get by without Carson Soucy, as I think we saw.
Maybe. I don't know if I agree or disagree on that, but
there's too many factors to make it like a,
yeah,
I'm a, that's a for sure correct take that I'm throwing out there. Just something I thought of.
Just like Noah Juulsen, third best defenseman.
Maybe that, maybe, right? Yeah. Maybe not enough evidence to support that, but I'm telling you the vibes.
Right. But you are right overall in the sense that, going back to the LA game, I thought that was his most important game since returning. And I mean, in his first game back, we know that he has a reach. We know that he breaks up so many plays defending the rush, especially because of his intelligence. But what stood out in that game was how many times he beat LA's forecheck. The few times that LA would pressure with their forwards up ice, it's like he just doesn't feel any heat. He's just so calm, composed with the puck. He'll use his size to take a bump along the end boards, absorb the contact, and continue skating and make a controlled play with possession exiting the zone. It's something that Rick Tocchet was glowing about after that LA game when I asked him about Soucy's impact. And I asked Soucy, I think it was after the Vegas game, about his puck moving and how much it seems like it's improved since Seattle. And what he brought up is when he's been hurt, he's had a chance to still skate and work on some of his skills with the Canucks skill coach, Yogi. I can't remember his last name. I don't want to butcher it, but he's worked with Vancouver skills coach and just spoke about how valuable it's been to, okay, even though I've been hurt, I'm at least able to hone in on one part of my game. And clearly that's paying dividends.
All right. The sad part of that game.
Sevchkovsky? Am I dollywall butchering that? Yogi Sevchkovsky, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. I didn't want to butcher it. So
I did it for you.
I didn't even want to attempt it. But I think Grady's kind of on.
I think you're pretty close, actually.
All right. The sad part of the game that we need to talk about. Thatcher Demko goes down. Farhan Lalji was the one that reported that Demko will be out for 2 to 3 weeks. Rick Tocchet said post-game that he didn't think the injury was too serious. Rick Dhaliwal confirming that it is the knee for Thatcher Demko. Also a lot of reporting from Dhaliwal and Farhan that it is not one of the injuries that has plagued Demko in the past. Obviously, we know he's had hip issues. He's had the groin, obviously, last year, and he's had knee. I wonder if it's the other knee or if it's just a different part of his knee. I don't know how many parts of the knee there are. Feels like you could hurt a bunch of them. But, 2 to 3 weeks for Thatcher Demko. That's going to hurt them. But the one thing I will say, Harm, is if this team defends the way that they have in front of Demko for the past few games, and DeSmith got to start too. If they defend the way they are right now and keep playing the way they are in front of their goaltender, look, I know Demko's had to make some timely saves. If they play like this, they'll be fine over this stretch. If it is just 2 to 3 weeks, they'll be fine. They'll have, you'd assume, a pretty well-rested Thatcher Demko heading into the playoffs. And I don't want to speculate too much on what it could mean for him. But yeah, you would think that you have a pretty well-rested Thatcher Demko ready to go for the playoffs.
Definitely. And what stands out in terms of why they've improved defensively is just there's no space in the neutral zone. If you're the opposition in the Jets game, for example, it seemed like every time the Jets were trying to transition the puck up the ice, that there was so much back pressure from the forwards to angle them to the outside, to force them to make a quicker decision, to dump it in, as opposed to having the time to actually carry it in with control and make a dangerous play off the rush. And now that the Canucks are back at home, now that they don't have many games on the schedule in terms of they've got a spaced out run here over this next week, they're going to hopefully be well rested to continue playing that style, because it is taxing. It does require a lot of energy to be busting your tail on every shift, on every back check, while also being mindful of trying to create offense as a forward. But if they can continue defending the neutral zone as well as they have, I think that'll go a long way in making sure that DeSmith's workload isn't too onerous. And I'll also say this, it's massive that DeSmith, for his own confidence, was able to pick up the victory against Anaheim.
Yeah, shutout. Won't go on his record as a shutout, but it'll be a shutout in our hearts.
In Anaheim.
Excuse me. I thought you meant the final one, because that's also big.
That was crucial, I think, for his confidence as well. But, I mean, you could just see in Anaheim, once DeSmith was speaking in the scrum, how much relief was on his face. That, okay, like, I've been struggling. I've been allowing a lot of goals. I finally picked up a win, and Rick Tocchet also made the distinction that he thinks it's important that DeSmith picked up the win in that Anaheim game in a tight, high-pressure 2-1 game, as opposed to a game where they just beat up the Ducks like 6-0 and there was no pressure on him, right?
Yeah. All right, people are asking in the chat about Seelovs or Tolopilo coming up. You ready for me to monologue? You have some time to drink some water. All right, so I was trying to answer this question of, will the Canucks call up Nikita Tolopilo or prize possession Archer Seelov? Tolopilo is also a prize possession, we should say, for Ian Clark and the Canucks coaching staff. But I'm looking at this and I'm trying to figure out who should get the call. But I know everybody wants a concrete answer. They want me to come out and say it's Archer Seelovs. It's my boy Archer Seelovs. As I said, second best player in the world behind Connor Bedard, according to the IIHF last year. Obviously, he picks up MVP with Latvia. He's a good goaltender. And look, I've praised Archer Seelovs a lot on this show. But there's a but here, Harm. Nikita Tolopilo's had a really strong season down in Abbotsford. This is a guy that Canucks went out and got in the offseason. I know they're very excited about him. This is a guy that led the Allsvenskan last year in save percentage. He's up to a 907 this year. You'll also look and see that Archer Seelovs, I believe, I should have looked it up.
He's also 907.
907, yeah, good thing you looked it up. See, even for the stuff that I sound well-prepared on, I'm not actually that well-prepared. But I can tell you that Archer Seelovs, again, is somebody that this coaching staff really believes in. And when I say coaching staff, I mean Marco Terenius, the goalie coach out in Abbotsford, and I mean Ian Clark. Seelovs got the games at the end of last season. I thought he was really good in those games. Obviously, he had the one against the New York Rangers where I thought he really took a step in terms of learning the speed of the game. Mika Zibanejad kind of tricked him a little bit, knowing it was an AHL goaltender in net. Some huge strides for Seelovs at the end of last season. He has the NHL experience. So if you're looking at it and saying, okay, these goaltenders are, one of them is going to come up. They're probably going to have to start. I don't think if Demko's out 2 to 3 weeks, you're not starting Casey DeSmith for all of those games. You're not. These guys are going to play. One of them is going to play. And what we're trying to answer is if it's going to be Seelovs or if it's going to be Tolopilo. Seelovs had a great season last year, 909 save percentage in the AHL, played well at the NHL level as well. However, Nikita Tolopilo has come in this year. Seelovs was kind of penciled in as the starter, the 1A, if you want to call it a 1A, 1B situation. And I would say, especially in 2024, in terms of their deployment and how they've played in 2024, I would say that Tolopilo has been the better goaltender. And I think what really stands out is how the goals are going in. I know they have identical 907 save percentages, but what's going to matter more, I think, to Ian Clark when he's, you know, when him and the coaching staff are trying to make this decision, what's going to stand out more is how the goals are going in. For Archer Seelovs, the goals haven't all been these east-west, that's one that he just can't have. Like, that's an impossible save to make, or that's a very difficult save to make. A lot of the goals Archer Seelovs let in this season, as much as it pains me to say it, a lot of them have been those, would like to have that one back. Or those stinkers. Hell, there was that one from center ice, that game-losing stinker from center ice that we wrote about at Canucks Army. That was in last week's Blackfish Report, the updated version of which will be out tomorrow, Tuesday, on Canucks Army. But should it be Seelovs? Should it be Tolopilo? That is the question. I don't want to sound like I'm talking in circles too much, but I'm going to say that at first I thought Seelovs because, hey, he's got NHL experience, but now I'm thinking it might be Tolopilo. Solely based on how he's played this year and that this coaching staff might want to kind of reward him for playing so well down in Abbotsford. That being said, you're looking for wins. You're not looking for a feel-good story. You're not looking for a guy to get his feet wet the way you were last year when Seelovs got the shot. Remember, when Seelovs got the shot, Spencer Martin and Colin Delia were both still up here. Now, I know that's not the most, the hardest competition, especially how those two played at the tail end of last year, but you didn't have to get Seelovs in those games. And I would say if the Canucks were fighting for a playoff spot, they wouldn't have got Seelovs into those games. But they did. Seelovs got his feet wet. Now he has wet feet. I'm wondering if he gets into a game here or if it's Tolopilo. And again, there's a lot of different factors. I'm really curious. I don't know the answer is the short answer. Again, people want me to come out and say, it's going to be this guy. It's going to be this guy. If I was calling the shots, which I'm not, I think I would go with Seelovs because I believe in Seelovs and I think the NHL experience trumps playing well in the AHL this season. And I know Seelovs has had a really up and down year, but he has had his ups this year. You don't get to a 907 save percentage if you haven't had your ups. It's just that he's had lower lows than Nikita Tolopilo. So I'm very curious who they give the NHL shot to. Might be Tolopilo, might be Seelovs. Almost impossible to know for sure.
I'd lean towards Seelovs as well. I, like you said, I think the NHL experience matters a little bit just because there is always a little bit of a learning curve when a minor league goaltender first comes up to the NHL. I will say this about Seelovs. It is interesting, big picture to note. And of course, this isn't necessarily in relation to the decision the Canucks have to make now, but he goes through these stretches where he'll have really high highs and really low lows.
Yeah.
Right. Like he'll go on an absolute heater like he did in the World Championships for Latvia, or at certain points in the AHL where he'll reel off like multiple shutouts in a couple week stretch, and he'll have like an 8-game stretch where he has a 930 save percentage or something. But then it'll also be counteracted by stretches where it feels like he's allowing a lot of soft goals. And I think that's going to be an important part, is sort of assessing his recent form, where's his confidence at, where is he at mentally in terms of, is he ready for an NHL opportunity? And if it doesn't go well, is he in a position where he's going to be able to shake that off? Because let's not forget, when Seeloff's first got the opportunity to come up and play these NHL games, going up against a high-octane Rangers offense, a lot of us were thinking, okay, he's played okay in the American League, but his numbers weren't spectacular.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, they weren't great in the AHL last season. And a lot of us, myself included, were thinking, is he ready for this moment? What if he gets shellacked and it hinders his confidence? But because the Canucks and Ryan Johnson knew his, you know, psyche really well, were working so closely with him, they made the determination that, hey, this is a guy who seems mentally ready for this moment, and we don't think this is as much a risk as people on the outside do. And guess what? It ended up working out. Yeah. So that's one thing to keep in mind, is this management group, this coaching staff, they're going to know where each goaltender is at and what that, you know, NHL experience, NHL pressure, what that NHL test could mean for each of them.
And the guys that cover the Abbotsford Canucks for Canucks Army and elsewhere, Dave Hall is on, is echoing what you said, Quads. He says, I've been turned into a Nikita Tolopilo truther. I love his calm approach to the game, and I think there is real potential. With that said, Artur Shelovs is next in line and on an expiring contract. They should be testing him as much as possible. Likely won't see any games anyways. And Ben Lipka, who covers Abbey as well, says, I'm thinking they may give Tolopilo a look. He's signed for next season. Shelovs isn't yet. Tolopilo has been more consistent this season in Abbotsford. And I believe Cody Severtsen, apologies, Cody, is echoing something similar in our YouTube live chat. So the guys that are covering this team day in, day out are kind of all leaning towards Tolopilo. But, you know, I think the fact that they've already gone to Shelovs and Ian Clark has talked so highly at him times, my guess is they're probably going to go with that. But, you know, I think Canucks fans should be prepared. They shouldn't be surprised to see if Tolopilo gets the call, because he's right from get-go, like at Young Stars, he was noticeable. And I know that's prospects, but coming over, he's played, you know, a considerable amount of pro hockey already, just like Shelovs has. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see here, because, you know, calling them up is one thing, but do they actually get, you know, significant amount of ice time? Probably not.
Yeah.
But regardless, you know, you get the chance to take on pro shooters in practice. You get to work one-on-one with Ian Clark. So all those little things kind of go a long way for a goaltender's development, just getting the confidence and just, you know, getting that chance to wear that Vancouver Canucks jersey in practice at the very least, and then perhaps as a backup for a game.
Yeah, so I was talking to Cody, the daddy of the Farmies. We were talking about the call-up, you know, who is it going to be, all that sort of stuff. And something that Cody pointed out to me that really made me think was, you know, just a reminder that, one, Casey DeSmith is a UFA after this year. He's not signed beyond this season. And that heading into this season, the Canucks seem to at least be hoping that Shelovs was going to be able to be the backup. And let's not forget the conversations we were having ahead of training camp, folks, before Casey DeSmith came to Vancouver, was, yeah, it's going to be Shelovs. I don't think Spencer Martin's going to be the goalie. Like that was the take that we were throwing out, or at least I was throwing out, was, yeah, Shelovs is probably going to be the backup. I think the organization looked at it, clocked that Shelovs maybe wasn't ready to do that. What's the organization's opinion if Shelovs isn't ready to do that next season? That's where I'm at now. So I'm looking at it and saying, they might be looking at this and thinking to themselves, okay, well, we need to figure out what we have in Tolopilo, because maybe we want Tolopilo to be our backup, or we're once again going to have to add going out and getting a proper 1B goaltender like Casey DeSmith has been for Thatcher Demko. We're going to have to add that to our offseason shopping list. And guess what? We're going to have to add that to our salary cap.
Yeah, and honestly, I think this would have been a higher pressure decision if, or higher stakes if DeSmith had continued his form from, let's say, the first half of the season where he was brilliant. And look, if DeSmith was still rocking like a 915 or a 917 save percentage, then I think a lot of us would have been wondering, okay, is the demand for him in free agency going to be such that he's going to price himself out of Vancouver? Whereas now with this, with this slump that he's been on, DeSmith is at a point where either him or a comparable backup, you're not going to have to pay a lot for that type of piece. So you can afford, if necessary, to give Seelovs another year in Abbotsford to develop. Sorry, there's just a lot of
What is going on?
Sorry, guys, I'm doing some studio renovations right now.
Just got the 2x4s out. What is going? Can
they're
you
painting,
hear?
For those that are unaware of this, they're painting at the Wall Center
with
here.
What?
Some hammers, apparently.
Yeah, like, what the hell are they covering?
Can
hammers?
People hear that?
Paint? That's what I'm trying to figure out. If people can actually hear
they
it,
they have to be able to. There's no way.
Okay, let's be quiet for a sec. Literally on cue, he gets louder. Whoever's banging right now.
Let me go investigate.
Yeah, we'll try and get to the bottom of that. But we'll keep talking through.
I tried to keep a straight face.
I couldn't at the end. My feet are vibrating. Like the whole room is shaking. I'm getting crazy. They're painting. Okay. We'll see. We'll just get to the bottom of that. People said they couldn't hear it while we were talking. So let's just talk through it, Harm. I got to get it together here. Okay, so ultimately, yeah, I'm looking at Seelovs versus Tolopilo, trying to figure out who it's going to be, and I don't know the answer. Like, I wish I knew an answer. I wish I could come tell you that I know exactly who it's going to be. I don't know the answer just yet, but we'll see. Canucks practice tomorrow. They had two well-deserved days off on Sunday, on Monday. They are going to be back practicing tomorrow, and then the Colorado Avalanche are in town for a game on Wednesday night. Obviously, Casey DeSmith will get the start for that one, but we will see at practice who the other goaltender is, who the Canucks choose to call up.
I'll also say this. I think when you look at the sort of meaning of these games down the stretch, it's these aren't high stakes games nearly as much as I thought they may have been even a month ago, because we had this conversation of, okay, the importance of finishing first in the West. So you get to play the second wildcard team. Well, and we were hoping, okay, could that second wildcard team be Nashville? Well, Nashville's 8-0-2.
Yeah.
They're in the first wildcard spot ahead of Vegas. They're 3 points up on them. So you don't know who's going to finish in the first wildcard spot, who's going to finish in the second wildcard spot between Nashville, Vegas,
yes,
or even if it's in LA in that conversation. So at this point, the value of finishing first in the West, it's not like I'm sitting here and going, oh boy, it's a catastrophic scenario if the Canucks finish second in the West instead of first. The main thing is just winning the division. And from that standpoint, the Canucks are still 10 points up on the Edmonton Oilers. So you're pretty safe in that respect. So that's at least a good spot for the Canucks to be in, where they've banked so many points that it doesn't feel like every game is a do or die. And that's why it's important that even on this road trip that they got back on a 4-game winning streak to steady the ship. Because can you imagine if the Canucks were in a situation where they had lost some of those games on the road, and then you think back to how tough the end of February was for them in terms of how many games they were losing. Imagine they were still in this losing rut.
Yes.
And then you lose Thatcher Demko. Now we're having a totally different conversation.
Yes.
People are panicking now because this team is defending well, because they've won games, because first place in the Pacific Division is relatively secure. The panic button, you know, people aren't rushing to smash it.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Corey Anderson in the chat. That's some very rhythmic painting going on behind us. It stopped now. It stopped. Grady went and laid the smack down. He used their paintbrushes against them there. Okay. What did I have here? I had a few things. Okay, so you brought up the wild card. I find this very interesting. Obviously, Edmonton, like you said, 10 points behind. Three games in hand, but people in the live chat were also pointing out that the Oilers have a pretty tough schedule coming up. And, you know, when you look at the Canucks' lack of travel, and look, let's be honest here, I don't think it's a coincidence that the Canucks look well rested right now, and all of a sudden they're starting to look like they did back in like October when they were just running down every team that they faced. Again, you're not getting too cocky here, but they are on a four-game win streak, and they have another real test game against the Colorado Avalanche, and they're going to be well rested for that. And I also want to say, we saw this on Twitter, or Reddit. It was on Reddit, excuse me. Elias Pettersson and Dakota Joshua stopping for some photos with a Canucks fan's kid. The fan posted the photos of it. Looked to me like they were bowling at the North Burnaby Revs.
Really?
This is very niche because I grew up in North Burnaby, but I used to have field trips to Revs. They're tearing it down. North Burnaby Revs is getting torn down. They're putting in big sky-rise apartment buildings. High rise, that's what they're called. Putting apartment buildings in. So Revs is going away, but I just love the idea that someone in the Canuck group chat was like, boys, Revs is getting torn down, one last ride. And that all these years, the Canucks' secret spot to go hang out so they don't have to face too many fans has been Revs. They rent some lanes, they just bowl. They just bowl away. And, you know, they could be doing a lot worse stuff on an off day than going to North Burnaby that's Revs. Wholesome. That's so wholesome. So anyways, I just want to throw that out
that
there.
Sounds I thought like that a was... Tyler Myers suggestion.
Yeah. Yeah. You can bring the kids.
Myers, by the way, over the years, you'll find out in talking to players is apparently very funny in the team's group chat. Very loud, throws a lot of jokes in there, as does JT Miller, but that we are.
Yeah,
expect.
JT Miller could have guessed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the most unlikely? You know what? I mean, I've said this about the AHL team. We've had multiple AHL players, Abbotsford Canucks, on the show, and we say, who's the most funny guy in the locker room? Like, Archdeep Baines. And we're like, what? And then we told Archdeep that, and he was just like, yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. And like, he's totally got that dry sense of humor. You can just see it.
It's the same thing with Teddy Bluger. I told this story before, but I'm doing a project where I'm talking to players on the team about what it's like being on the private charter, just sort of like a behind-the-scenes look. And Dakota Joshua was like, yeah, Teddy Bluger is hilarious. So like tell jokes on the team plane. I'm like, wait, what? Teddy Bluger is hilarious. I'm like, we don't see that side of him. And Bluger was sitting right next to him, and any jokes, he's like, yeah, that's for when you guys are out of the room. And so I found that, that pretty funny. And that's the thing, right? Is some of these guys, they're, you know, low key, when the cameras are around or cameras are around and everything, but they can still be really funny behind the scenes. But then you also have guys like Miller and Garland that don't care. You'll walk in and they'll chirp you for whatever reason. It's
man,
hilarious.
Those two, it's funny you brought up those two. Those two were chirping Murph's tie, and that didn't sit right with me. Murph, I loved Murph's tie, and what was funny was I right before we walked in the locker room, we're waiting to go in, and I said, Murph, I love your tie. It was like blue and had orange polka dots on it. And I'm not going to say what they said, but they were chirping Murph's tie. And I hated that. I did not like that.
JT gave it to me pretty good. Like a lot of times this year. Like, so we were doing, The Athletic was doing its anonymous player poll.
Yeah.
And I was about to go talk to a player in JTC's. And like, I guess he'd overheard some of the questions before. And look, the questions aren't...
hockey questions. They're not hockey.
Well, I mean, they are.
For the most part. Yeah, yeah.
They're sort of like, oh, who's the best player in the NHL?
Yeah.
Who's most underrated, most overrated?
Yeah.
Who do you hate most in the league? That type of thing. And whatever. JT saw me with the notepad and and started in a voice that was imitating the questions. He's like, oh, are you ready? He's like, what color is your favorite squirrel? And then just like continues a couple mock questions. And he's like, what, Harmon, nothing? And I'm just like laughing. I'm like, dude, I got to do this. It was awesome, though.
Whew, all right. I've heard that story before, and it never fails to make me laugh. What is your favorite squirrel? JT Miller.
So what question. Color? I was like,
yeah, what color is your favorite
and
squirrel?
Then the player is when I'm about to start, he's like, oh, are you actually gonna ask me about squirrels? I was like, no, dude.
You should have. Okay. Let's take a quick break here. I'm gonna tell you about two of our sponsors, and then we're going to get to anyone else. And who knows, maybe we'll talk more about squirrels. But first, we're going to talk about the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool game. Wendy's is letting you win real food with your fantasy teams this year and Daily Faceoff. For those of you who smoke the competition, Wendy's is rewarding you with weekly prizes that will have you winning. Download the Wendy's app and score yourself 150 bonus reward points on your first order and grab a sweet victory from the mouth-watering jaws of defeat, along with some fresh, never-frozen beef. Sign up to play Daily Faceoff Survivor Fantasy to win weekly prizes like the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's and the Wendy's app. I'll tell you what, Harm, I'm picking the Islanders to beat the Kings. That's my pick for today, and the majority are going with the Kings so far, so we'll see how I do tomorrow. That is the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool game. You can go win some stuff
from. How about those Islanders?
I know Bo Horvat's really on a roll right now. They're back in the playoff conversation. Let's save that for anyone else. Actually, I want to talk about that a little bit, but I gotta tell you about another sponsor of ours, Park Casino. Park is the official casino resort of the Vancouver Canucks, and Sakaris and Price will be live on location doing a show inside BC Kitchen before Vancouver takes on Colorado on March 13th. Come grab a bite, watch Sakaris and Price, and take home some of the on-site prizes. On days the Canucks play, you can receive 15% off the game day menu with your game ticket at BC Kitchen. Park is just steps away from Rogers Arena, and when you sign up for Encore Rewards, you get $10 free play to use in the Canucks Gaming Corner. Whether it's a game day or just a night out with friends, let Park be your place to play. All right, you can't do anyone else, right? I'll take it.
I can't.
I'm running on fumes. Three ad reads in a row is tough. But I'll fight. It's time for anyone else, presented by DoorDash. It's our listener's chance to get involved and hit us up in the YouTube live chat. And it's also our listener's chance to get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. That's all capital letters, NATION, and the numbers 25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change, terms apply. I have a quick story, since we're in the topic of funny stories. This DoorDash bag that's behind me, those on the YouTube live show will know what I'm talking about. This DoorDash bag that's behind me, one time when it got delivered to us, is DoorDash, proud sponsor of Canucks Conversation. We're very happy to have them on board. I was walking around my apartment building with the bag out, and I had, I kid you not, four different people come up to me, be like, are you Ricardo? Or are you this person? Are you this person? And I'm like, no. And like, I'm just walking around with this DoorDash bag. I'm like, that's why they are looking for their food. And hey, I've been there, but no, that bag has never had any actual food in it. It carries other stuff. Yeah, I digress.
That's awesome. Yeah. By the way, one thing I wanted to quickly bring up from the Winnipeg game that I really liked. It's so nice having Nikita Zadorov for games like that Winnipeg one, where Adam Lowry is trying to assert himself physically. He's trying to run around, and just to have somebody that isn't going to take his crap and is willing to stand up. And it was cool seeing obviously Bluger as well, not backing down, but then to have a 6'6", 6'7", however tall he is, Zadorov,
tall,
just there to sort of rep your team when Lowry is running around. And obviously the history of last game, Lowry took that huge run at Nils Åman. It's just nice to have
absolutely
a presence like that back there.
Big boy hockey.
Exactly. And when these games down the final stretch of the season start to feel more like playoffs, which is funny because in past years, they felt like the opposite because nobody was taking the Canucks seriously. And the Canucks obviously didn't have much to play for back in those days, even though they went on heaters and started winning all those games at the end of the year, like clockwork. This year, it's the opposite. All these games are feeling like playoff games. And look, you've got Colorado on Wednesday. That's going to have a playoff-like feel to it for sure.
Well, these last three games, like I've tweeted it out, this is essentially a playoff primer, because you know it's going to get nasty. You know teams are going to be giving it their all against the Canucks. And, you know, this is a great test for them to kind of just be prepared, so they know when that puck drops on game one, you know, everyone's going to be running around with their heads cut off like a bunch of chickens, and it's going to be full throttle big boy hockey. And Harm, I just wanted to let you know, I had the DoorDash ad read ready to go, willing. I had your back. Who said the producer is a replacement level guy?
That was your quote. Yeah,
I was ready and willing, but maybe one day Quads will call me up.
You're getting called up. I should have called you up. My throat kind of hurts now. Gonna sound like Harm.
You getting sick?
No, I'm not. Okay, I don't get sick.
Imagine if you both went down. It'd be like, you know, we'd be calling down to the bullpen.
Yeah.
PJ Irv. Please not me.
Yeah, and then you get sick. Gotta call in the backup producer that we don't have.
We don't name it. We don't say his name.
Call him up from Abbotsford.
Yeah. All right. Nar's asking if we can get back to squirrel talk. Do we have any hockey questions? People were asking.
There's a few in there.
Okay, I'll look for those. Nar asked something about Lord of the Rings. He asked us to pick Lord of the Rings characters for the Canucks. Have you seen Lord of the Rings?
No.
Yeah, me neither. All right. Well, that segment didn't go as planned. Okay.
I just watched the whole trilogy, but I can't name them. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna say Quinn Hughes is what's his name? Philbo? No. It's
they have that one guy.
Bilbo.
Baggins.
Bilbo Baggins.
There we go.
And Frodo.
Baggins.
And that's where Gandalf's from too, right? Gandalf, you shall not pass. Is it Gandalf the White or Gandalf the
Grey? You shall not pass.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I tried to read The Hobbit. Like, I got started.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you finish it?
I read it, but like maybe 10 years ago.
Okay. Well,
or something. So I forgot about the whole thing.
All right. This is just off the rails. Anybody have any hockey questions? Come on. Let's go.
Garland would be the Hobbit.
Oh, I guess. Undersized. Yeah. Isn't Frodo the hero of that story?
Yeah.
Is Frodo the hero?
Yeah.
Then Quinn Hughes.
Well, maybe Sam, right?
Sam? Bilbo and Frodo and they throw out Sam? Come on.
Mr. Frodo. I just watched it. I should know all this. It's somewhat fresh in my mind.
Okay, here we go. Finally, a hockey question. It's a bit of a heater, but I like it. It's good. Corey Anderson. I know it's too soon, but could Hoglander Suter be the unheralded wingers for EP40 that Kunitz and Dupuis were for Crosby, future Canucks, Sidney Crosby?
Okay, well, anytime you throw out a Chris Kunitz comp out there, I don't like using it because they won cups.
Mm.
So that's something that you always have to be mindful of. But look, stylistically, Hoglander's been a great fit with Patterson. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't sure if Hoglander could be a long-term fit on Patterson's line. I wondered if there'd be sort of like the first time we saw Hoglander with Miller and Besser, that, okay, there are some sparks, but there are also some nights where it's not really working. I like that fit there, and I think he should be there long-term. So that's already, you're taking off a huge box, because can you imagine what your top six would look like in terms of question marks if Hoglander, if we were still talking about him as a fourth liner, that, oh, we can't really trust him in a top six role. Same thing with Suter, that, okay, he's great in a bottom six capacity, but can he hold his own in a top six role? They've been doing the job. Now, I think obviously in seasons moving forward, it'd be great if you can find a way to dislodge one of Mikheyev or Suter from the top six, but you can't do that now. And for the purposes of down the stretch and going into the playoffs, I think you're okay for now. And really, you're just going to need Patterson to drive the bus, be at his best. You're going to need JT Miller to drive the bus and be at his best, as he has been since the All-Star break. And you're going to need the version of Ilya Mikheyev that we saw over the last two games. If you can get those factors working, then I think your top six is in a prime position.
Couple things I want to plug over at Canucks Army. The first one from Stéphane Roger today, where he talked about Canucks didn't make any deadline acquisitions, so they're going to have to deal with these call-ups and these additions that they've made. Look, we've highlighted Vasily Podkolzin, we've highlighted Ilya Mikheyev. If Ilya Mikheyev can return to form, that's massive for this team. Carson Soucy coming back, that's huge. Dakota Joshua, a guy that I feel like we haven't really talked about. He's still a bit away, and people were asking if Dakota Joshua was bowling. I don't know. Like, you can go to a bowling alley and not bowl, but you still, and people were pointing out, they were like, well, he's wearing the shoes. Look, if you've been to Revs, you know, you got to wear the shoes. If you're on the floor, you got to be wearing the clown shoes.
Yeah.
Do you bowl much?
once a year type thing.
Yeah, same. I have a friend that has bowled two perfect games. Like, he's a good, good bowler.
I think Canucks Clay is like a really good bowler.
No, his son. Well, he might be too, but his son is like the Canadian national team. Wow. Like, his son is really good. Yeah, Jacob Eamon.
Harm only balls. He doesn't bowl.
Yeah.
But I don't ball either.
No? You're not a baller?
Don't you play basketball?
Like once in a blue moon type thing. Oh, not anymore after I nearly rolled my ankle.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This is an actual hockey question. A lot of squirrel questions in the YouTube live chat. But RP88, does Elias Lindholm stay on the third line when Dakota Joshua comes back? I threw this around with Patrick a little bit on Friday when we had Patrick Johnson on the show. And I kind of said, yeah. Like, I think he has to stay on the third line. I think your third line could become such a weapon, and it already was a really strong weapon for this team, but your third line and your fourth line can potentially become such a crucial weapon for the playoffs if Elias Lindholm's able to provide more, even more of an offensive output than Teddy Bluger did when he was on that third line. And look, I know with any great line, messing with the combination can sometimes hurt, but I've liked what I've seen from Elias Lindholm with Connor Garland in that short sample size. And if you're looking at Podkolzin as a Joshua Light, I'm really liking what I've seen from that line.
Lindholm's been a lot better the last couple of games. I think we're seeing him win more battles, keep possessions alive in the offensive zone. And the benefit then is that if you're slotting Bluger in a fourth line role, he can help elevate wingers who aren't, you know, necessarily at their best. Like a Phil DiGiuseppe, for example, has been struggling for a while, but because Bluger has been so disruptive, because he's so fast, because he forces so many turnovers, and because he can make gorgeous passes like the one that DiGiuseppe scored on in that Winnipeg game, now DiGiuseppe is all of a sudden feeling confident and you're unlocking a better version of him. So now your fourth line recently has been starting to play a lot better, even though PDG and Lafferty before this recent stretch haven't been playing their best hockey. I think it's Bluger that really started to spark that fourth line and turn it back into the strength that it has been for most of the season.
I think you're bang on, and I think that's further reason that I think you do keep it that way. Even though last week, again, I don't want to flip-flop too much, but I was thinking, yeah, you got to get Elias Lindholm on Elias Pettersson's wing, but can't really complain about what's going on with that line right now.
The key too is the top six is working right now.
Everything's working.
If the top six wasn't working, then I'd be saying, okay, maybe give Lindholm another shot there. But Hoglander and Suter are getting the job done on Pettersson's line. It's looking great. So I wouldn't necessarily want to mess with that. Now, if we run into a scenario where Joshua is healthy at a point where now the top six, for whatever reason, we're again having that conversation of, okay, Pettersson needs a little bit more help on his right wing, then okay, maybe you think about it. But I also think that the Canucks like Lindholm way better at center than they do wing.
All right, we've got one from Twitter. Let's pull it up, Grady. Sports Philosopher Vancouver. Who has a bigger impact in the playoffs, Mikheyev or Lindholm? This is an interesting question. I'm going to say Lindholm because he's going to be the third line center. And again, I think what we're looking at is if Mikheyev just continues on this trajectory of having these strong games and playing in the top six, I'm still going to say Lindholm.
I mean, it better be Lindholm.
It better be Lindholm.
Even if
it has to be. It has to be.
Because even if Mikheyev is playing great hockey, he's still not going to be a player that produces a ton of offense, who is going to be scoring at, let's say, close to a point per game, which, not that Lindholm needs to be scoring at a point per game, but you go out and you trade the package that the Canucks did, which I had no problem with, but you're expecting that player to be a true difference maker. And Lindholm needs to be more of a difference maker than Mikheyev. And I think it's a positive sign that he started to trend in the right direction during the last couple of games.
A lot of questions about Lord of the Rings, a lot of questions about squirrels, which is a great time to end anyone else and tell you actually about something that we're both really excited about. An event that's coming up on Saturday, April 20th at the Hollywood Theater in Kitsilano. It's a special tribute to our late friend, Jason Botchford, and is presented by Fountain Tire. Jason made a significant impact on all our lives, and we want to honor his legacy in the media the best way we know how by celebrating the Canucks' race to the playoffs. The event, which we're calling Bro Do Your Playoffs, is a media event celebrating the life and legacy of Jason that will feature shared memories, special guests, an exclusive performance from the matinee, and the celebration of Vancouver's return to the playoffs. This up-close and personal event will take place on April 20th from 12 p.m. until 5 p.m., with the proceeds going to support a local mental health organization chosen by Kat Boschford. Harm, I know you and I are both going to be there. We're both going to be speaking at the event, and we're both very excited for this event, and we'll have more details, folks. Tickets are going on sale next week is what it sounds like, and of course we will have more information as the week progresses and as we get into next week. But I wanted to put on everybody's radar, put in your calendar Saturday, April 20th. That's when we're going to want to, you know, see you all. It's going to be a bit of a more intimate event than our Greta watch parties, which are always great, but gonna be a really fun time. Really excited for that, and we'll see you all on April 20th. Gonna be a good time.
I'm really looking forward to it. The event at the Commodore last time was unbelievable. So I can't wait to wait for this one.
Someone pointed out in the chat that this is happening on 420. Didn't even think of that. But yes, it is. It is happening on 420 in Kitsilano. We'll wrap it up there. For my co-host, Harmon Dyler, and technical producer, Grady Sass, my name is David Guzzelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Canucks Conversation. Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads, brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back, and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.